Only Murders in the Building is back on Disney Plus.
You know what this means?
Murder?
Yeah, murder, yeah.
Featuring Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez, Paul Rudd, and Meryl Streep.
Look at this cast. They're all killers.
The Evening Standard has called it the best comedy series of the decade so far.
This is so exciting.
I'm honored to work with you. Just don't upstage me.
And Five Star says Heat and The Guardian.
We're onto something here.
Only Murders in the Building. New season now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus. 18 plus subscription required. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation, Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, 3 minutes after 12 is the time. I did warn you we were heading towards a crunching gear change. But Mystery Hour, the most light-hearted hour of the week that we spend together, usually sits in stark contrast to the hefty toll of the last hour. But I remain deeply, deeply grateful to everybody who rang in, and indeed to everybody complimenting those contributions. We'll return to this. It's time that we sort of shrugged off some of the political shenanigans and got back to the stuff that we were doing before the country broke. But Mystery Hour will remain in place throughout, your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction that is not available anywhere else on your radio dial. If you don't know what it is, you are in for a treat, although I would warn you it's very unlike the other 14 hours a week that we spend together. If you've got a mystery, a question, a conundrum that you know has an answer, but you're damned if you can work out what it is, give me a ring on 0345 6060973 and ask it. And similarly, if you hear somebody else asking a question to which you know the answer, then 0345 6060973, give me a ring and answer it. My favourite contribution of the week will win a Mystery Hour board game, which is a beautiful bit of kit, actually. Hours and hours and hours of fun for the entire family, absolutely guaranteed. And yours in response or in reward for the best contribution of the week. If you want to buy one, of course, for someone you care for deeply, then go to mysteryhour.co.uk, find out a little bit more about it over there. I think that's it. The full terms and conditions for the competition element of this feature are available at lbc.co.uk, and the game itself, as I say, is available at mysteryhour.co.uk. Let's crack on, actually. Brad even is in Durham. Brad, question or answer?
Well, it'd be strange if I had an answer. Yes. It was a question.
Yes, it would, but not impossible, Brad, not impossible.
Not true. Place name, James.
Yes.
So, as I've become older, I became more interested in why a place is called the place they're called.
Yes.
But my particular question references where place names end in H-A-M. So, yes. For example, Durham, Hexham, Wokingham. What is the H-A-M? Mean,
I know this. I like this. And do you know? I think it's come up before, and I'd never noted that Durham is a ham, because you don't pronounce it that way, do you? I mean, it's an so Sydenham, I suppose. There's loads in Norfolk. Yeah. I spend a lot of time in Norfolk, and there are two possibilities. Qualifications. I'm pretty sure it's come up before, and someone cleverer than me knew the answer. So you've got the ham with one M, which is Anglo-Saxon for settlement, right?
Yeah.
So that is sort of. Yes, of course it is. Yeah, little settlement, a hamlet.
Yeah.
And then you've got, I think a double M, which is a like a fen or a water meadow.
Okay.
So that's where the name would come from. So that is a settlement of Dur, is Durham.
And when it has T-U-N on the end, so Hampton?
I don't know. You're not allowed two questions, luckily. It'd be a bigger ham, would it? I don't know. A Hampton, I mean.
So that was kind of the crux of the question, which I've tried for 3 weeks to get on, and now I'm finally on, was it, what's the difference between a ham and a Hampton?
Well, you've blown it, Brad. You've blown it, mate. You've blown it. Yeah. After 3 weeks of trying to get on, and you've come on and asked the wrong question. I'll put it on the board. I won't take a round of applause. What's the difference between a ham and a Hampton?
Yeah.
Actually, I like that. It's probably, but well, because I don't know the answer, I prefer it. So you're on. All right. I'm not making new rules. That's an exception that proves the rule. So don't anyone else ask for special treatment. Thank you, Brad. Mind how you go. Back to Durham. Keith's in Willesden Green. Keith, question or answer?
I've got a question for you, James.
Carry on, Keith.
Why do we never have female juniors? You always have, like, do you know what I mean? You've always got Little Jimmy Jr. or something like that.
Little Jimmy Jr., I've got all his albums.
There's never been, like, an army of Tracy Juniors running around.
No, or the third and the fourth, you know. It's like Michael J. Fotheringham the fourth. That kind of, you don't have that either. It's always, I presume it's hereditary, isn't it? It's because you are the heir to the fortune. Therefore, you are the junior to the current holder of the fortune, and a daughter wouldn't be the heir.
Yeah, it's got to be something. I was named after my grandfather. I want to throw my hat in the ring for youngest Keith in the country as well.
How old are you?
36.
I think you're younger than our Keith. Is that? Let me. I'm going to have a quick chat with our Keith. Wait there, Keith. Is that the youngest we've ever had? Has anyone kept a record? I know he's younger than you, but have we had a younger one before? I don't think we... All right, Keith in Willesden Green is currently the youngest Keith in the country. That is
a ball game.
We'll see. It's, I mean, you're in the running, mate. Everyone's in the running so far, but that I like that. So, question, why do you not have... Why? I love it when you see, I don't know if you do this, and you notice a company, there's a... Oddly, back to Norfolk, there's an undertaker on the road that we usually take into Norfolk that is and daughter. That's always quite nice to see that, isn't it? When it says, you know, Jones, O'Brien and daughter, or Keith and daughter. You don't see that very often, but you see it more often than you see a female junior, Doris Junior. You're on. I'll find out, but it's going to have something to do with heirs and wills and inheritances is the word I'm looking for. Keith, young Keith. Do they call you young Keith or Keith Junior?
I just get called Keith. It's a bit embarrassing having a 70-year-old's name, to be honest, but at least nobody ever forgets you when they meet.
I was about to say there's only one Keith, but we know that there's at least two Keiths in their 30s. Thank you, mate. I like that a lot. Why no female juniors? So I'm James Junior. I was named after my dad and my granddad and my great-granddad. If you go back far enough, it would have been Seamus, but the anglicised version of Seamus being James. Why is it not named after your mum, daughters? Dave's in Leytonstone. Dave, question or answer?
I have a question for you, please, James.
Carry on, Dave.
Why do I lose weight when I go to bed overnight? I went to bed last night, weighed myself, and when I got up this morning and weighed myself, I've lost £3.
£3?
Yes.
What did you go from and to?
Then you're going to know I'm lardy. I went from 15.10 to 15.7.
Sorry, I had no right to inquire after the details of your experience. So you lost £3 overnight?
Yes, well, and it's not just a one-off thing. I've noticed it for a long time.
Well, don't get out of bed, mate. You'll be 12 stone by the weekend.
I know, but it's a good idea. I have thought about that one, but the missus won't give way on that one.
Do you forgive my... I've already breached your privacy, but do you sweat a lot?
Nope. Don't get up to nothing, unfortunately, when I'm in bed.
Now you're volunteering. Behave yourself. You're volunteering it now, Dave. I'm not even asking. Way too much information. So it's not that. And there's no, I mean, you're metabolizing, I suppose. So heat, you do give off heat. So you're metabolizing food while you're asleep. And that would be chemical energy turning into heat energy. But it does seem like a lot. £3. Are your scales reliable?
Absolutely.
All right.
And it's a regular thing. I mean, I would lose between 2 to 3 pounds every night.
And then put it back on again during the day?
Absolutely.
I'm fascinated now to know about this. It's going to be something close to what I said, I think. But we shall find out. Nice one, Dave. Mind how you go. It is 12:11. Three questions on the board. We've got the Ham versus Hampton. We've got the female juniors. And we've got Dave's nocturnal weight loss. James is in Tower Hamlets. James, question or answer?
I've got an answer for you.
Go on.
So it's about the ham, and it's an old English.
No, I know that. Hang on a minute. Who's producing the program today? I've already answered this one. It's the old English term for a settlement. Ergo, Hamlet would be a little settlement.
Yeah, ham just means a farm.
Comes from the Saxon.
Yes, whereas village is French, and it means village. Like a village.
But what's the village? What's the difference? Is the actual question now? Because I allowed Brad a supplementary. What's the difference between a ham and a Hampton?
Well, Hampton is probably to do with hemp, which is a type of flax that was used for clothing.
So you think ham and Hampton have nothing to do with each other?
No, they've got nothing. It means hemp ton, and a ton is like a plot of land. So it was a plot of
South
land.
Hampton. So the South, so and we're going back to when we were a naval superpower and needed a lot of ropes, which were made of hemp.
Oh, no, but Southampton is actually Hampton, and they added the P later on. It was Hamwich first, and then it became
Ham. How do you know all this?
Well, I'm a history teacher, and I teach...
Oh, I've had history teachers. They wouldn't have known any. They wouldn't have known any of this. You've got a particular interest in place names.
Yes, I have, because I teach A-level Anglo-Saxon stuff.
How exciting.
So it helps to make sense of it. And originally it was Hampton, yeah. And that's where you get Hampshire, okay?
Yeah.
And it's named... And then when Northampton became part of the English kingdom,
yeah.
They had two Hamptons, and then they called one of them Northampton, one of them Southampton.
But neither of them had anything to do with hemp?
No. Well, the Southampton one didn't anyway. I'm not sure about the Northampton one.
So think of one that does. Think of another Hampton.
Hampton Court.
What
Hampton,
was that then?
That's in South London. That's to do with hemp.
Is it?
Yeah.
And that would be rope manufacture?
Yes, that would be manufacture of rope and cloth and that sort of thing.
So I'm not trying to think of another one. There must be lots of other ones. Hampton, Southampton, Northampton. There's the Hamptons in New York. Is that linked to this, or is that something?
I have no idea about that.
You don't care about American history, do you?
No, it's probably named after our one.
Yeah, of course it is.
Because there's also New Jersey and this sort of thing. So they probably went, I'll just call it after Hampton Court or something, or Southampton or something.
All right. So Hampton is not etymologically related to ham in most cases.
The thing is all these names got corrupted in the Middle Ages over 500 years, and they just changed the spellings of them to make them different from each other.
Little Hampton.
Yeah, Little Hampton. So it might well be to do with hemp. That's why it's got the P.
Right.
But in case of Southampton, it's not to do with hemp. It's to do it's a ham.
It was just for ease of pronunciation. Yeah. And does ton a derivative of town? Does ton leave us to town?
Yeah, ton leads us to town. It means like an area of land. Then you got things like ing. If it ends in ing, it means like a tribe. They're the oldest ones, and it means like a tribe of people, like Woking or Godalming. It means Walker's tribe or Tutor's tribe, Tooting, or Godhelm. Yeah. He was a powerful
Godhelming.
Leader.
Yes,
point.
Big Saxon leader, Anglo-Saxon leader.
And then you get Ington as well, so it means then you might have like...
Ington, Idlipo.
And then the Ington means then the land of the tribe, or the, you know... And so
have you been on Mystery Hour before?
No, never, no.
Well, you're a natural. This is incredible. Oakhampton, Roehampton, Wolverhampton.
Yeah, they all make sense. And once you've got a grasp of these ones which are quite common, you can actually then get a grip of what the actual landscape looked like a long time ago and how things were owned.
Of course you can. How it was broken down.
Wow.
That is a lot. I bet you're a great teacher. You've really communicated your enthusiasm to me and everybody else listening. Qualifications, you've already told us, but just for the record, what are your qualifications? How do you know all this?
I've got a degree in history, and I study old English and Anglo-Saxon stuff as a hobby, and I teach A-level English history.
James, this could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship, this could, James. Make sure you're tuning in 12 o'clock every Thursday, because we get a lot of stuff like this. Round of applause for James, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Look at that. Mystery Hour duck breaker. It's 12:16.
When it comes to weaning stains, Persil Ultimate Aloe Vera is crafted for sensitive skin and is our toughest non-bio liquid on stains. Plus, it's even powerful in a quick and cold wash. So head online and shop Persil Ultimate Aloe Vera now. Persil, dirt is good. Quick and cold wash at 20 degrees C, 60-minute cycle.
Time for a Diet Coke break?
Yes, yes, yes!
Da-da-da-da-da!
I really need a dab.
Love what you love. Diet Coke. Get runway ready. A chance to win the ultimate shopping experience plus hundreds of prizes curated by Kate Moss. Promo packs in store, 18 plus, T's and C's. Visit coke.co.uk/break.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It is 12:18, and indeed, Mystery Hour is underway. Your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. So, we've done the Hams and the Hamptons. I hope that Brad is happy. We need to know why girls aren't called junior. Daughters are never juniors in the way that sons are. And why does Dave lose so much weight while kipping? 03456060973. No Troy Ray Liotta for James. He was good, but it was no Ray Liotta. There'd be lots of people who knew what he knew. I appreciate his knowledge was very specific to the question, but not Ray Liotta territory, I don't believe. Stuart's at Heathrow. Stuart, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
It's how is the heat generated in a human body? Obviously, it maintains about 37 degrees. But yeah. How is that generated inside the human body? And where in the human body is that heat generated?
I like that question. I think I'm not going to try and answer, which is odd.
No, it's just something I've been wondering. My wife, she always runs cold. She wants to sleep with the heating on. I always run hot. Oh. I always want to sleep with the window open.
It's often the other way around, I think. Who has the hotter water in the shower or the bath?
Oh, the wife does.
Oh,
always.
Sorry then, yeah.
Yeah, the wife does, always, yeah. Always having to turn down the thermostat on
that. She feels the cold more than you do, but she can endure greater heat than you can as well. We're basically the inferior half of the species in every evolutionary measure.
It's just something. We don't have a heating element as such inside of us, and so where does that heat come from? We maintain 37 degrees, and how is that heat generated?
Well, I mean, I know roughly how it's generated. It's chemical, like all reactions.
Yeah,
you're turning energy into heat energy. So it's an but that doesn't make sense, does it?
I don't know.
Or does it? Exothermic? Metabolism? All right, you're on. It's on the board. How do we generate our own heat inside us?
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a good question, that. Well done, Stuart. Let's crack on. Peter is in Tenerife. Peter, question or answer?
Hi, James. Answer.
Carry on.
To the chap who loses weight overnight, in fact, I think the majority of us will probably lose weight overnight. All of us will break down fat while we sleep. We do a bit throughout the day, but while we sleep is when we recover the most. And fats are a triglyceride, effectively, which is carbon, hydrogen and oxygen.
Yes.
When it's broken down, it turns into water and carbon dioxide, and you breathe it out. About 4/5 of your fat, you breathe out. Since you metabolize most of it when you sleep, that's when you burn the most fat. So that's why it's so important to get a healthy amount of sleep.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So there's a vicious circle there as well, because if you are overweight, it can have a deleterious effect on your sleep patterns, which means that you're less likely to be burning the fat that you need to burn.
Yes.
Oh, phone line's gone weird. But hopefully I'll be able to hear your answer to this question. Qualifications?
Biomedical scientist.
Oh, round of applause for Peter. That'll do. Oh, I never knew that. You're breathing out. You're sort of breaking it down, breaking the fat down into carbon dioxide and water, and then breathing it out. Well, I love that. You live and learn. 12:22 is the time. Ben's in Lewisham. Ben, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's a question.
Carry on.
It's about the naming of natural features. So sometimes the natural feature is before the name, and sometimes it's after.
Yeah.
So, for example, rivers are before. So River Thames,
yeah.
And mountains are before. But things like seas or oceans or forests after the name, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. I mean, I don't know how specific
sort of
is it.
On.
Yeah, so what else is there, though? I mean, apart from rivers and oceans. Mountains? Range? Well, do we?
Everest.
Mount Everest. Yeah, but then there might be other ones where mountain comes after the description, aren't there? Something mountain.
Is there?
I'm thinking of a ride at a theme park. I don't think that counts as a proper mountain, does it?
Yeah.
Ice Mountain, is it? I like rivers. Why do we say the name before we say the description? I don't know if there's going to be an answer to this one, Ben. Do you?
No, I'm wondering if it's sort of linked to our mishmash of sort of etymology of language for English. Maybe it's the same in Latin languages as well.
That might be it, because I suppose rivers have been named here, whereas oceans have been named somehow from a more overview perspective, haven't they? I don't know who named the Mediterranean or the Atlantic, but we would have named rivers ourselves, so they'd have roots in English or Anglo-Saxon or bitter Latin.
Yeah.
River Thames. River
and then
seven.
Forests and rainforests are always after. I don't know. There's a thing there.
So what determines whether the descriptor goes before or after the identifier?
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. I'd be amazed if we get an answer, but sometimes we are amazed, aren't we? That's the beauty of mystery. Ben, you're on the board. So we've done Dave's question about weight. Peter answered that perfectly. We've done Brad's question about hams and Hamptons. James played a blinder there. We don't know why no daughters are called junior. We need to know how the body generates heat, and we need to know why some natural, what's the word, phenomena, have the description, Forest of Dean, Black Mountains. I thought this might happen. Is he still there? Ben, come back.
Yeah, I'm here.
So we've got a problem. We've got a problem. So Sugarloaf Mountain, Table Mountain, Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, so is it inconsistent?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a river. Moon River? Or is that just the song? We say the Mississippi River, don't we? Not the River Mississippi.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, we do. MISSISSIPPI. Mississippi River.
It's all falling apart,
Ben, but I'll leave it on the board, but more out of charity than curiosity. 12:25 is the time. Walker is in Nelson in Lancashire. Walker, question or answer?
Hello, James. Question, please.
Carry on, Walker.
How do transplant organs work?
The same way that the other ones do.
So when you take an organ out of one person,
yeah,
all the blood vessels and nerves are cut.
Yeah.
When you put it in another person.
How many do they attach, really, is what we're interested
well,
in, isn't it?
Well, we know how they can connect the blood vessels.
Yeah.
But how do the nerves connect up?
Yeah. Because they're so tiny, you wouldn't be able to do it manually. Is that what we're thinking, would they? I don't know if they do. Do they have nerves? Are there nerves in your heart? Do you have nerves in your heart?
Well, they have to receive signals from the brain, don't they?
Indeed they do. So how do they connect that? It's a cracking question. Is it just born of curiosity, or are you facing...
I just thought of it a few weeks ago. It's been on my little list
I can see why. How do they connect a transplant organ to the brain is what you're really asking, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah.
Gosh, a cracker, yeah. That. I like that one, Walker. Thank you. You are on the list. How do they connect new organs when you have a transplant to your nerve network, i.e. all the way to the brain? Marie's in Canterbury. Marie, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on, Marie.
Why do we dance? What's the origin? It's probably linked to music and the origin of that, but why? It just seems a bit odd.
Was it?
Music's on and we suddenly start moving around in my case probably very amateur fashion.
Yeah, I'm not very good at dancing. I used to think I was, but there were reasons for that we don't need to go into.
Well, alcohol related for me anyway.
That would be one of the factors. But have you not just answered the question? If I start playing music now, we will start moving, even if we're just nodding our head. And then once you start nodding your head, if the mood takes you and you start moving your arms, and then you might start moving your legs. So it's a natural reaction to rhythm, I think.
But why, though? What?
I don't know why. Why?
Mm.
I mean, it's a brilliant question.
Might be linked to the womb, I guess. Movement,
yeah,
but
the
I
heartbeat.
Know.
The heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's a reminder of the heartbeat. The dim drums throbbing in the hills half heard.
Doo-doo-doo-doo. Yeah, and it's become a very stylized art form now, hasn't it? There are lots of different forms of dance.
But yeah, but we're not thinking about
that. We're not thinking about that. Kind of what made us
the natural,
who did it first?
The primitive.
And why didn't everybody point at them and just go, "What the hell are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you? Why? So why do we dance?" Sounds like an album title, doesn't it? For for like, I don't know, Air or the Chemical Brothers. Why do we dance? Why do we? Why? All right, you're on the board, Murray. I love that question.
Brilliant.
Again, as with Ben, I'm not sure we're going to get an answer. But you never know. You will do. This is anthropology, isn't it? This is basic anthropology. Someone will know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do we dance?
Just I don't.
No, nor do I. Marie, thank you. Why do we dance? How do you connect, or how are transplanted organs connected to the nervous system? I knew when I said I said nerve system a couple of minutes ago, and in my head it felt wrong. You must do that as well. And I thought, it's nerve system. I wonder what I mean by it's nervous system, i.e. brain as well, all the way to the brain. The naming of natural phenomena, Ben's question, fell apart a bit by his own admission when we realised that there were plenty of examples of the opposite of what he presumed was the normal. Generating body heat, how does that work? And why are there no girls called juniors? It's coming up to 12:30. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
Let's be real. When you're working from home in summer, you wear a conference call top, sure, but it's paired with bikini bottoms. Your swivel chair's a deck chair. Your laptop's open, but it's playing summer tunes. And as you sip your icy coffee and get to work on chasing that one tiny patch of sun around the garden, it can almost feel like you're on holiday.
Our iced whipped chocolate latte and the rest of our iced coffee range is available now at Costa. That's summer made a little better. Costa Coffee.
Oh, Clive, we have to celebrate. I'll invite everyone. Everyone! Jerry, Lorna, your Margaret's still on the landline, right? What an occasion! I mean, it's not every day your next-door neighbour but one's cat has a fourth birthday, is it?
With 3 for £12 on barbecue grill items, any excuse to have a barbecue this summer. Savour every second of it with your local BP M&S food store. BP, here for all of life's journeys. T's and C's apply, subject to availability at participating BP M&S food stores only. For more details, see bp.co.uk/latest offers.
It is 12:32. Mystery Art continues. Let's just crack straight on. Claire is in Rugby. Claire, question or answer?
It's a question.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a bit weird because when I was a child and up into my 20s and 30s, as you're falling asleep and you're sort of just dozing off,
yeah,
I used to get a weird sensation,
yeah,
that a part of my body, let's say my head or my foot or my arm,
right,
was either huge, what, or like a pinhead or tiny.
Right.
In relation to, and I don't know if that's a known thing, if there's a name for it, and what would cause it. It was a very peculiar feeling.
Well, yes, it is. I don't think I've ever had that one.
I was wondering because I remember having it on a regular basis.
How would it work? I mean, how would you think you had an enormous head?
I don't know. It was just a sensation that your head was, because you're drifting off to sleep, your head suddenly was huge or
tiny,
or your leg or foot or something was.
So any body part would swell up to enormous proportions in your mind.
Yes, or to tiny proportions.
Or to tiny proportions.
Just a weird sensation. I don't know if that's a known thing or.
Well, I've never heard of it.
Just me being very peculiar.
Have you ever asked anybody else?
Well, yes, and I don't know anybody else who's had it.
No, nor do I.
I'd be interested to know.
Well, that means, I mean, we may not get an answer, but if we don't get an answer, that might mean it's just you.
Oh.
But it might not.
It doesn't happen anymore. I'm older now. I'm sort of in my 60s, but it definitely was a distinct feeling.
Well, you're on. So how am I going to phrase the question? So
I have no idea. I didn't know how to phrase it myself.
No. So it's Claire's enormous stroke tiny head just before,
yes,
what's going on there?
Arm or whatever.
And it was always just like at nodding off time?
Yes, as you were sort of drifting into sleep.
Yeah, that brings it into a different light, I think, because that's a bit like when you think you're falling or something like that. Your brain is playing tricks on you, isn't it?
I might be just a nutcase.
Well, no, not a nutcase. You might be unique. You might be special. You might be the next stage of evolution.
There
might be an evolutionary advantage to what you've described that we are yet to identify, but come the revolution, you'll be in charge.
Oh, wonderful. When I come to power.
When you come to power with your enormous stroke tiny head. Thank you, Claire. It's on
thank
the board.
You.
No, thank you. 12:34, so big head, little head, dancing, transplants, heat, and juniors, and also the question that doesn't make sense about rivers. Rod's in, let me see how I get on with this, Eposende in Portugal. Rod, question or answer?
Hi, hello. It's spelled Eposende, but the Portuguese tend to pronounce it Spazend. They drop all the vowels at the beginnings and ends of words here.
Spazend. I got that horribly wrong. Spazend.
Spazend. Okay.
Spazend in Portugal.
Yeah.
Rod's in Spazend.
Yeah.
Rod, question or answer?
It's an answer to the how the body generates heat question.
Oh, good man, yes.
So, yeah, it's a chemical reaction we break down. Every cell in the body uses glucose to make various ways of making an energy storage molecule called ATP. But
yeah.
instead of making that molecule, it can divert the energy to making heat energy as well. And if the body's temperature's low, then it will divert it more to that temperature
to heat you up.
Production.
And it's got a sort of built-in thermostat, so it knows the body knows roughly where it should be.
Yeah, I mean, it's very. I mean, it can get quite complicated what's going on there. Whereas some animals, like so-called cold-blooded or hypothermic animals, reptiles, etc., they will tend to then move into an area that's warm to get their body temperature up, whereas us, we've got our chemical reactions.
That'll do nicely. Qualifications?
Retired biology teacher.
Lovely. Have you retired to Spazend?
Kind of, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
a lot. I do a bit of it. Do a bit of exam marking occasionally. But
oh, lovely. Oh, that's nice. Keeping your eye in. Well, it's earned you a round of applause, Rod.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I've got good news for Claire. My inbox has gone bonkers. Here you go. The feeling of big or tiny arms when drifting off to sleep was something I had as a child. It was terrifying. I was going through trauma at the time. I don't know why, so I'm not going to phone in. Exactly the same thing happened to me, says Jim, when I was younger. Drifting in and out of sleep, and I would imagine a body part being much, much bigger. It was almost like an out-of-body experience. I've got a possible answer there, but we don't take answers via text. Suzanne's very relieved that her husband's not the only one on the planet who does this. He regularly says his arm's gone all fat when he's falling asleep. Liz says, I've had the limb thing. That's what we call it, the limb thing. It would feel like my leg was really long and my foot was so far away from the rest of me and that my hand was tiny. What's going on then? How can we explain this phenomenon that Claire will be slightly relieved to learn is not confined to her? 12:37 is the time. Charlie's in Banstead. Charlie, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
So I was getting ready for work the other morning.
Oh, yeah. And oh, yes.
Got the antiperspirant, deodorant, whatever you want to call it out.
Yeah.
And it just dawned upon me, why do you only spray a very specific niche part of your body in the armpit?
Yeah.
Why not everywhere else? Why not?
Well, you can if you want, Charlie.
Well, it's not very cost effective, is it?
Or necessary, really. That's the point of the question, isn't it? So I think I know this. So body odor is not sweat, which is what you're thinking. It's stale sweat. And usually stale sweat is going to be sweat's going to be absorbed into your clothes. It's not going to smell. You will get smelly. Your clothes will get smelly if you don't change them for a long, long time. But your armpits are going to get smelly before any other part of your body because of the you produce more sweat there. Very simply put, and also because your arms are usually by your side, it's not going anywhere else.
But without getting into too much detail.
Yeah.
Me, like many others, do sweat elsewhere. Why don't you put it on different parts of your body?
Because it's not going to go stale in the same way. You're not sweating as heavily, so your armpits are producing more sweat. And because it is that the environment of the fold of skin, if you like, it engenders more staleness.
All right, I think I'm satisfied with that.
I suspect, and I don't want to get indelicate, but I suspect that probably in the trouser department, where there might be a case for deodorant as well, but we generally wash that pretty carefully, don't we? What I would like to know from someone who shaves their armpits is whether that has an impact on smelliness.
It's a good point.
Well, because my theory is that the hair, the atmosphere, that it feels like an armpit is like a fetid atmosphere, isn't it, when you think about it? If it was a planet, if you landed on the armpit, you'd be out of there pretty quickly, whereas if you landed on a kneecap, you'd be sticking your flag right in the ground.
I wasn't expecting it to go down the kneecap route, but here we are.
Here we are. I'm going to put it on the board. Why do we only spray our armpits? Because I think I've got close to an answer, but I'd be surprised if it was definitive. Thank you, Charlie. It's 12:39. Darren's in Milton Keynes. Darren, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Okay, regarding a vinyl record player, vinyl records, you've got three speeds, 45 RPM revs per minute. You've got 33 and a third RPM. Yeah. And you used to have 78 RPM. And the question is, why those specific speeds? Why not different speeds? How are those speeds chosen?
Wow. Okay, I thought I was going to know the answer to that. I thought it was going to be, why do we have different speeds? Anyway, you didn't ask that, so I won't show off by answering a question you haven't asked and probably getting it wrong anyway. So why those numbers? Why is 33, 45 and 78? 78 for younger listeners was indeed a vinyl category, wasn't it?
Indeed, that's the question. Why
those numbers?
Chose those speeds for a reason.
Yeah, it'll be some sort of ratio, won't it? It'll be some sort of ratio.
Yeah, and what I mean, 78 was the initial speed, years ago, 1930s, whatever. And then they changed to 30. 78 was done away with, so there's a reason for that. Why change it to 33 and a third?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some reason. I've searched the internet and everything. I cannot find an answer. I've asked everybody. I cannot find an answer to that question. So I think the challenge is out there, James.
Well, that's what Miss Jo was invented for. Well, not technically, it was invented so that we could do an hour without running risk of Ofcom rules on the days of by-elections. But it was also invented to get answers to the unanswerables, the previously unanswered questions. So why those numbers? It's not why do we have different speeds, but why 45, 33.3 and 78 when it comes to the revolutions per minute for turntables. Nice one. Thank you, Darren. So a quick reminder, what's the time? 12:41. Before we go to Jamie, we've got quite a lot that still need answers. We need to know, we've done the body heat one. We need to know how transplanted organs are attached to your nervous system. We need to know why we dance. Why do we dance? Why do we dance? We need to know about enormous tiny limb syndromes. We need to know about sweaty armpits, and we need to know about double speeds, multiple speed record players. Jamie's in Chippenham. Jamie, question or answer? Jamie!
Yeah, sorry, James. Hello.
What were you doing?
Answer.
What were you doing?
Well, the line went dead, but I'm
it
here
is?
Now.
Well, what a relief. Yeah. Question or answer?
It's an answer. It's
carry on.
An answer to why Claire gets, or not why, but what Claire gets strange feelings about in her bed at night.
Yes.
It's called Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Shut up. Seriously?
It is. Well, I mean, that's the common name for it. I can't remember the scientific or medical name
that's
for
great.
It.
It's a that's
neurological.
Brilliant.
Syndrome. I used to suffer from it horrifically when I was a child, to some really bad extremes, and we just put it down to sort of night terrors. But later in life, I sort of looked it up, and this was a few years ago now, and realised that it wasn't just me or night terrors. It was Alice in Wonderland syndrome. And
so you looked into it.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems, and I still suffer from it a little bit. Typically when I'm feeling quite anxious, I still get it at night, and it's sort of when you close your eyes. And yeah, I mean, as a child, I'd go down to my parents, I wouldn't let them touch me because they felt really far away. It's not just it's not just your own body, it's if you open your eyes and actually interact with people,
there's a lot of it in my inbox, so I mean it is, and quite a lot of people endorsing your Alice in Wonderland syndrome description as well. So do we know why it happens? Is there an explanation for it, or is it just a sort of neurological
quirk? Exactly that. I'm sure there probably is some scientific reason, but I'm not entirely sure. But from what I can remember looking into it, that's what it was called, and I suffered from it.
Nicely
as
done.
A child and still do.
No, and was it all limbs? Was it all your head, your fingers, your leg, anything?
I remember it being specifically my fingers, and when I used to interlock my fingers when I was suffering from it, I mean, it sounds silly, but they felt like huge sausages rather than my little tiny 7-year-old fingers.
Love it. Round of applause for Jamie. Qualifications, you had it, and you looked into it, and you found the name for it, which is what Claire wanted. I never knew that. You live and learn. Hugh's in Cardiff. Hugh, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Hugh.
It's about the transplanted, and I'm going to talk about heart specifically.
Okay.
Basically, we don't reconnect the nervous system.
Oh.
So the heart has an intrinsic, the cells of the heart beat on their own. So if you think when you take the heart out, you see it sometimes, they put it into cooling when they take it out with a dead patient. It'll keep beating on its own.
Yes.
So when it's put into the body, in a normal body, we have fibers that make it go faster and some that make it go slower. And in a normal person, it tends to run about 50 or 60 beats per minute because the slower fibers sort of override the fast fibers. It's called parasympathetic and sympathetic systems. So when you what we call denervate the heart and put a heart back in,
yeah,
and beat without parasympathetic or sympathetic inputs, and it beats at its intrinsic rate, which is faster. So people with transplanted heart, their hearts beat at about 90 beats a minute rather than about 60 beats a minute.
Well, I never.
So you can increase the heart rate or in somebody with transplanted heart, but you need to give them drugs that act directly on the heart, not through the nervous system itself.
Right.
The heart can increase its output, its cardiac output, because you have something called cardiac output, which is dependent on the heart rate and the stroke volume. And the stroke volume is how hard the heart beats. And that's dependent on how much it's stretched by the blood going back to the heart. So when you do exercise and your body sort of the vessels in the rest of the body contract and push more blood back to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The stroke volume increases, so the amount of blood coming back to the heart increases, and then the heart can push more out. And again, that's an intrinsic ability within the heart to do that.
Okay.
There is some evidence over time that the nerves find their way back into the heart, but it's never really the same.
It's definitely not done by surgeons. Do we know anything about other organs? Do we know whether? I presume that you can't.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't really. The kidneys really work much on their own, really.
Yeah.
So they don't need it. The lungs, similarly, a lot of that is less dependent on the nervous system. So most other organs don't need it either.
No, fair enough. Qualifications?
I'm a consultant anaesthetist within the NHS.
Fantastic. When did you last do a heart transplant?
Oh, I've only ever anaesthetized patients who've had heart transplants.
Right.
So we need to know how to manage their blood pressure when they're under anaesthetic.
Yes,
but I've never worked in a centre where we actually do the transplants. Done some cardiac surgery and seen it beating away, but never transplanted one.
Fantastic. I think impeccable qualifications. Round of applause for Hugh, please.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Hugh. Lovely stuff. Hey, real experts today. 12:47 is the time.
Here in the UK, we sell amazing products and services the whole world wants.
At the Black Farmer in Devon, our produce is enjoyed on both sides of the Atlantic.
We're McKinnon and Saunders from Manchester, and our puppets are watched on 6 continents.
So whether you're new to exporting or experienced, explore global growth for your business with free support from the UK government. Access information, training, events and expert advice to help you find new customers overseas. Visit great.gov.uk to get started.
TNT Sports is here for fans like you who walk the talk. You're the one who got wed wearing full Chelsea kit. You gave birth in a United shirt with Cantona on your back. You found true love at Craven Cottage, and when Everton stayed up, you felt the earth move. We get it, because this isn't just football. It's knee slides, shirts flung, badges kicked, absolute limbs, it's everything. Watch the Premier League and UEFA Champions League live on TNT Sports.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It is 12:49. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Question still in need of answers. Why no female juniors? Ben's weird question about natural features, which didn't really stand up to scrutiny. Marie's question about why do we dance? Done Claire's question. That was brilliant. And then Nathan's question about armpits and Charlie's question about record speeds. Anything else, Keith? That's the lot. Let's see if we can knock them all off. Mark's in Barrow-in-Furness. Hooray! Mark, question or answer?
Hello, as an answer, as you might expect.
I did expect, but I'm not sure which one. Yeah. I'm not sure which one it will be, because we've done the Hams and the Hamptons.
Well, no, I have an addition to that, and you were speculating that it might involve languages of all. Not Hams and Hamptons. Word order and things like mountains.
Oh, yeah,
and
word
rivers
order
and
on mountains and rivers and
yeah,
what have you.
And sorry, I was distracted about that, but that actually does make a point that in England, because there's been so many different groups of people coming here,
yes,
you do get a mixture of languages of origin.
Oh.
So with those hams, mostly it's English ham, but sometimes it's the word hemp and so on occasionally.
Yes.
And it isn't always obvious. And in fact, the word hemp is the same word as cannabis.
Yes.
As you might imagine from the meanings, but it's not obvious from the form.
No.
So you don't always know. The thing about the rivers and mountains and so on, this is an example of a feature which applies to different languages in terms of when you get the head of an expression and a modifier. So in a language like Latin, you get the head first, the thing which is what it's supposed to, the type of thing it is. So the word for, say, Mount Vesuvius is Mons Vesuvius, Mountain Vesuvius. The word for Rome is Urbs Roma, the city of Rome, and so on.
Yes.
But in some languages, the head comes at the end. And languages which have long words, long compound words, like German, tend to have that.
Yes.
And so you get a form like Neanderthal. Tal means valley.
Right.
Neanderthal river. What valley? The valley of that river.
Yes.
And if you get a German street name, the word for street, Strasse, is at the end. And often written as a single word. And so England has had influence from all these various languages. In the first instance,
whereas countries with, if you like, a pioneer like America, you'd have a more homogenous nomenclature because it was imposed at more or less the same time by more or less the same people.
It was. And occasionally, of course, though, you get a random thing. You get yes. someone who was in one place and decided that's going to be called the so-and-so.
Yes.
And it stuck.
Sure.
So the patterns are not rigid. And in a country like England, there's a big mixture because of all the different origins.
Of course.
But so you know, basically, you've got this. Now, we can't always explain how the languages came to have the head at the beginning or the head at the end.
Yeah.
Like Latin versus German. Often that's far back in the mist of time.
Wow.
But once it gets set up and you think about it, it must be one or the other. You must normally have the head first or the head second. And most languages have that very systematic. It's one way or the other within a given language.
No, that's
but
brilliant.
England gets a mix.
But because of our sort of mongrel heritage,
as it were,
our deeply mixed heritage. I love it. Qualifications, Mark, reminders?
Linguist over a long time, a long period.
Fantastic. And a Mystery Hour legend. Round of applause for Mark, please. Oh,
thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much, as always. George is in Preston. George, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, George.
It's about the speeds of records.
Oh, lovely, yes.
It's a bit long-winded, so I'll praise it. But basically, with regards to 33 RPM and 45 RPM, it was two different systems by two different record companies. So you had RCA that invented the 45 RPM format
right.
and Columbia that invented the 33 RPM format. Now, with 33 RPM, it was the standard speed of transcription discs for the radio. So before the advent of tape recording, they used to, you know, record concerts and things on transcription discs. So it was very easy for Columbia to bring out a system on that speed so that it could come out very quickly. And this is in the sort of very mid to late 1940s. So RCA thought, oh dear, we've got to counterbalance this. So they brought the 45 RPM record out.
So at one point you'd have bought an album that played at 45 rather than just singles.
Yes, that's where the word album comes from. Because
you'd have RCA, a collection of them.
They would sell like a box set of, say, six.
I've seen them at the Brentford Musical Museum. Have you ever been there?
I have actually. It's brilliant.
It is sensational. It's a very underrated most people don't know about it, but it's one of my favourite places.
Well, I actually restore and collect vintage record players.
I had a feeling you're in heaven then when you go down there. That Wurlitzer. Have you ever seen them playing the Wurlitzer on the first floor that comes up?
I play the Wurlitzer organ as well.
You are winding me up, George.
No, honestly.
And have you been? You've been there then, have you?
I have.
You can watch. I mean, for people who don't know, this is not for you. Can watch old-fashioned silent films accompanied by the kind of score that
I've done that.
I saw a Robin Hood film there. You've played for those. You've played for the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
At Brentford or
no, just
somewhere
locally,
else.
But I'm 23 years old now, and I've been collecting records since I was about six. So
wow.
So basically, it was all to do with the record companies not wanting you to buy each other's records and
so it was like VHS licensed. And Betamax, really.
Yeah, they licensed.
You don't know what that means if you're 23, do you?
Oh, I do. I actually repair Betamax machines.
What you got? You're a man of many talents, George.
Because I'm nuts. But, it's basically to do with the American archaic laws. It's like the Edison cylinder as well. They ran at about 160 RPM. It was all to do basically with patents and quality.
Market dominance, trying to get a bit. Qualifications?
Electronics engineer and vintage audio visual enthusiast, really.
You're close to a Ray Liotta on this, but I don't think you're quite over the line. Because the question could have been answered from someone without your expertise, if you see what I mean.
The numbers are basically just pulled out of a hat. They don't mean anything.
So there's no ratio. It's got nothing to do with the size of the cogs or anything like that.
No, 78 RPM records can run anywhere between 70 RPM and 90 RPM.
Oh, you live and learn.
It was all just to do with how much they could fit on the side of a disc or market dominance and patents, really. That's all
great
it's
work.
To do with. The numbers mean nothing.
Great work. When did you start playing the Wurlitzer organ?
I started playing the organ when I was 10.
Really?
Electronic organ, because my granddad used to take me to car boot sales and things, and obviously I used to like records, and he bought me some Krauss Funderlich organ records, and I thought, blimey, that sounds good. I want to play that. So, badgered my mum and dad, and they bought me an organ, which they weren't too happy about having that great big thing in the house. But
no. Well, like a Bontempi type organ, a sort of...
Oh, no, it was a Hammond organ.
Oh, Hammond organ, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And you progress from that to a Wurlitzer, do you?
Yeah, but I haven't got a Wurlitzer in my house just yet, but there is time.
Well, be careful. And how hard is it to learn what all the buttons and stops do?
It sort of comes naturally, really. You sort of... If you want to change from one sound to another, it sort of comes naturally. You just kind of know where they are. Yeah,
they're quite intuitive. They're designed intuitively. When are you next performing? Yeah. When can people see you performing? Have you got anything in the diary?
I don't really do performances, but occasionally I do go around the country doing little bits and bobs.
I think I'm going to give you a Ray Liotta because you sound like a lovely bloke, and also because of that amazing little aligning of the planets with the Brentford, with the Musical Museum in Brentford, which we've managed to...
You want to try the Dulwich Vintage TV and Radio Museum. That's brilliant.
I just walked past the Penn Museum in Birmingham. I've never been there either, but I might check
that
out.
I'll that in the
diary. Give him a Ray Liotta, please, Keith.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If you build it, they will come.
There you go, George.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, mate. We'll talk again, I sense. Ellie's in York. Ellie, question or answer? Might be the last one, this.
Hello. I've got an answer. Well, yes. I hope.
Yeah, so do I. You'll have to be quick. What have we got?
The one about dance.
Yes, why do we dance?
Well, I'm going to disappoint you at first and say there's no real answer because it's a human behaviour thing.
Yes.
Oh, I know. we've got some ideas. It's a human universal, like lots of things. All cultures do it, which is always a bit suspicious that there's some biological reason for it, you know?
Yes.
And the best thinking is that because we're such, our sociality is so important to us, it was a really important thing early on in our development.
Probably predates language. Any links to the womb and the heartbeat in the womb, do we think?
I don't know about that. I think there are links. There's been some evidence that there's brain structures that suggest it's completely innate in our brain. So 3-month-old babies will dance, will move
to
music.
You see it, don't you? We'll rock with the music. Yeah. Qualifications, Ellie?
I've got a degree in biological anthropology.
That'll do. Round of applause for Ellie. Thank you very much. That's it. That's all we've got time for. I'm going to give the game to George. A very late entry, and he's just nicked James in Tower Hamlets out of the top spot at the very last minute. But I hope you enjoy the game, George. It will be on its way to you. Remember, you can get your own from mysteryhour.co.uk, and you can recreate the fun of this feature in the comfort of your own home. That's it from me for today. Tom Sawbrick with you at 4. But now, Sangeeta Maiskar once again standing in for Sheila Fogarty.
I wear a few different hats as a CFO. You know, sometimes it's referred to as chief fixing officer. Wherever there's a fire in the business, you know, I'm often there first.
Whatever hat CFOs like Imran need to wear, Sage's tools and insights can make sure they fit. Sage, helping business flow.